We have many, many reasons to give thanks to God. We have just sung about the greatest of all, that God has given us His Son, Jesus. He sent Him for us, so that through Him we might have life. Personally, I have an additional reason. I'm thankful for Ethan, that he's back from his paternity leave, and I'll have more help in the office moving forward. And baby Catherine is here as well. Welcome, Ethan and Sarah. Friends, I'm grateful that this the service earlier today, we also sang together Psalm 1. I don't know if you picked up on it, but the words of Psalm 1, we've just sung together. I'm intentionally looking for psalms that we can sing together as a congregation. And you will see more of that in the weeks and months to come. But it's a beautiful thing when we can actually use the words of the psalms themselves and to use them as part of our worship service. This week, as I was preparing for this message, I was reading the story of an experiment that took place in 2007. On January 12, 2007, a man had stationed himself at a metro subway in Washington, D.C., hoping for donations by playing music. The violin in particular. He was wearing street clothes and a baseball cap and played his violin. And then with a violin case open on the pavement in front of him, he was hoping that people would stop, listen to the music, and give some money. Most people were uninterested. And besides that, they were in a hurry. It was rush hour in the morning, so people had to get to work. They didn't notice, as he played, pieces by Bach and other classical composers. He played those pieces with incredible skill. He played for about 45 minutes. They estimated about 1,000 people passed by him in 45 minutes. But only a small crowd actually stopped to listen to his playing, and even fewer gave any money. After the crowd walked away, 45 minutes later, he finished playing, picked up everything, counted the money, he raised $32. No one applauded when he left. No one thanked him for the beautiful melodies. And no one recognized him. No one knew that 3 days earlier, he had sold out on his concert in Boston. No one knew that he was playing on his Gibson Stradivarius' violin worth millions of dollars. No one knew that it was Joshua Bell, the celebrated violinist who had debuted years earlier at the age of 17 in Carnegie Hall. That metro station event was an experiment. Prior to it, cameras had been set up to capture how the crowd would respond. People being too busy to offer to stop, to listen, to offer some money, and even to offer thanks. That experiment showed that people can be in the presence of great people, great artists, and yet misrecognizing it and fail to respond adequately. That experiment was documented in the Washington Post in 2007. As a social experiment. But centuries earlier, a far poorer response took place. When someone even greater than Joshua Bell acted and performed miraculously, and people didn't recognize him. I invite you to open God's Word to Luke chapter 17, And so we will be reading from verse 11 to verse 19. As we consider the response of faith, listen to God's word for us this morning. Luke 17, verse 11 to verse 19. On the way to Jerusalem, he, Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered the village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord for us this morning. Would you join me in prayer, asking God to bless the preaching of the word and our hearing? Let's pray. Father, through the word that has just been read, and through this message, I ask that you would help us see Jesus and to recognize him and to put our faith and trust in him and in him alone. Father, I pray that you would help me proclaim this word as Christ intended it to be proclaimed. And ask you, Father, that you would help us all to hear it and to make much of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. This is one of the stories that Luke alone is including in his gospel writings. Other gospel writers write about other things. Luke mentions a lot of those as well. But this story is unique to Luke. In fact, Jesus performs this miracle of healing lepers, and it's not the first time in Luke that he does it. The fact that Jesus makes and performs miracles is not new. The fact that he heals a leper is not new, even for Luke. In this miracle story, the point of the story is actually not the miracle. It's actually not the performance that Jesus performs for these lepers. The astonishment Jesus experienced afterwards is the point of the story. What happened after the miracle is what draws the spotlight on this story. And the question is, what astonished Jesus in this story? It was not that 10 lepers asked mercy. That was not what astonished Jesus. What astonished him was the response he received from those who benefited from his healing. If we were to look at this text, it has two scenes. The first scene is when Jesus encounters the 10 lepers and heals them at their request. We see that in verses 11 through 14. We might summarize that first scene as the power of Jesus. The second scene is when Jesus interacts with a leper who returned to Jesus. And I might summarize that as the surprise of Jesus. Now, the first scene is what would surprise us. The first scene is what would make us like, "Whoa, look at the power of Jesus." But that's not what surprised Jesus. What surprised Jesus was what happened in the second scene. And the emphasis of this text is on what surprised Jesus. As we look at what surprised Jesus, we will see two points: the expected response and the unexpected responder. the expected response and the unexpected responder. But before we look at these surprise elements, let's see how these two scenes unfold with the 10 lepers. In the first scene, we see the unfolding of the miracle that Jesus performed. Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem. This moment or the place where this event happens is bordering between the region of Samaria and Galilee. We don't think much of that today, but in the first century, the animosity between Samaritans and the Jews was so high that some of the Jews who wanted to go from Galilee down to Jerusalem would do a detour so they didn't have to get even close to Samaria. They would go longer so they would avoid Samaria. Jesus didn't. He just went straight down. He went through the region that was bordering these two parts of Israel. And as he entered a village on the border between these two regions, 10 lepers saw Jesus from a distance, and they asked him to have mercy on them. Verse 11, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. These 10 lepers knew how to make their need known to Jesus, even from a distance. They yelled because they were not allowed to come close to Jesus. They were not allowed to come close to anyone. Could Jesus hear them from a distance? Could Jesus heal them from a distance? Of course. So notice what Jesus told them in reply. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. Now, the reason Jesus told them to go and show themselves to the priest was because in the Old Testament, God had given instruction that when anyone had a skin disease, including that of leprosy, if their skin disease was healed, they were supposed to go to the priest, have the priest examine the healing and confirm that indeed it was healed, and only after that allow them to reintegrate back in society and into worship. The priest did not have power to heal such skin diseases, but he was supposed to, and he was responsible to confirm that a skin disease was healed. So by instructing these 10 lepers to go and show themselves to the priest, Jesus was telling them that he was planning to heal them. Verse 4 ends on this note, and as they went, they were cleansed. As they acted on what Jesus told them, they would be healed. They got to experience in their life and in their body the power of Jesus' command. Jesus did not even have to say and command, be healed. All he told them is, go show yourself to the priests. And they were healed. But as powerful as that moment was for these 10 lepers, the healing of the lepers is not the main point of the story. Actually, the emphasis of this passage is on their response to Jesus. And it's their response to Jesus that surprises Jesus. And the point of this whole message for us today, if you were to summarize it, is that Jesus expects us to respond to him. Jesus expects you and me to respond to him. As we look at this story of what surprised Jesus, we're going to see the expected response and the unexpected responder. Let's look at each of these parts as we consider the response. The expected response is viewed as one of them decided to return to Jesus. Look at verse 15. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, in this man's response to Jesus, there's more than just a polite, let me go back to Jesus and say thank you. As one Bible teacher put it, Here, the concrete act of returning to Jesus is also symbolic of converting to faith. We pick up on that because in verse 19, Jesus affirms this man for his faith. Of all the 10 lepers, about this one do we hear, and about him alone do we hear, that he had faith. His faith in Jesus was what caused this man to return to Jesus. This man's faith became visible through his act of returning to Jesus. Because faith in Jesus enables us to return to Jesus. No one can return to Jesus apart from faith in Jesus. And when God works in us the miracle of granting us faith, we begin seeing Jesus for who he is, and we return to him, no matter what other direction in life we might be pursuing. Notice what this man did as he returned to Jesus. He was filled. He was filled with praising God. We hear that he was praising God with a loud voice. Everybody could hear now his praises. By praising God, as he was returning back to Jesus to thank Jesus, by praising God, this man was seeing the work of God in the work of Jesus. And that connection was super important, especially in the first century times. The Pharisees, about whom we read in verse 20 that were around there, the Pharisees in particular refused to associate the work of Jesus with the work of God. They had a hard time believing that in the works of Jesus, God was working. But this man, as he was returning back to Jesus, he's praising God. In other words, he's starting to see the connection. God is working through Jesus. And because he's seeing the connection between God and Jesus, this man is returning to Jesus with loud praises. He not only praises God loudly, but he also, when he gets at Jesus, he fell at his feet. There's a contrast between how far away they were earlier, at a distance. Remember when they called out to Jesus? They called out to him being at a distance. But here he is now at the feet of Jesus. And his body prostrated at his feet was a visible sign of worship. He came near to Jesus. He bowed before him as an act of worship. This man began seeing the connection between God and Jesus. This leper knew that God was the one who healed him, but he came to realize that God used Jesus to bring about that healing. Therefore, Jesus, for this man, was worthy of worship. And as he worshiped Jesus, he gave him thanks. This man gave credit to whom credit was due for this miracle. God worked through Jesus. So rightly, the heart of this man was filled with gratitude to Jesus. That's what faith does. Faith helps us see Jesus for who he is. Faith helps us to turn from our way and return back to Jesus. Praise God for his work through Jesus. Worship him and give him thanks. While there's much to commend about this man who returned to Jesus, notice what surprised Jesus. Not that this man returned, but that the others didn't. Look at verse 17. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? The expected response that Jesus shows here. was for all 10 lepers to return. But they didn't. 9 out of the 10 lepers did not return to Jesus, even if Jesus did a miracle in their lives. Not just before their eyes. Jesus did a miracle in their lives. And this is the first lesson emphasized by this story. When Jesus shows his power in people's lives, when he cleanses them, the expected response is that people would return to him, all of them. Where are the 9? We don't know why the 9 did not return to Jesus. Perhaps they were eager to get to the priest and then go home to meet their families, to be reunited with their families. Perhaps they just didn't have the eyes to consider Jesus adequately. We don't know why they did not return. What is clear is that they did not trouble themselves to return to Jesus. And Jesus is astonished by their lack of response. Where are the 9? The fact that 9 out of 10 did not return to Jesus after this miracle was caused and performed in their bodies is an incredibly important detail for the Gospel of Luke. What's this non-response from 9 healed lepers teaching us? Why is Jesus and Luke emphasizing, where are the rest? Well, I think there's a few lessons for us to learn from the non-response of the 9 lepers. One lesson we can learn from this is to watch out for the trap of wanting help from Jesus without wanting Jesus. Watch out for the trap of wanting help from Jesus without wanting Jesus. When these 10 lepers had seen Jesus, their mouths were filled with loud voices asking Jesus to have mercy on them. They had no problem in asking Jesus for help. But 9 of them did not bother to return to him. In their view, Jesus was not worth the trouble to come back to him. And there is a trap here that these 9 lepers reveal to us. The trap of wanting what Jesus has to offer without wanting Jesus. Our friends, there are some here today who may not have trouble asking Jesus for help, but they do not trouble themselves to return to Jesus, to come to him with worship, to let their mouths be filled with praises and with gratitude. There's some people who like to treat Jesus like a vending machine. You know, a vending machine does not expect you to come back to it and worship it. A vending machine does not expect you to have a heart filled with gratitude. But Jesus does expect that. Because Jesus wants more than just giving you goodies and help. He wants you to need him. He wants you to want him. Jesus wants you not merely to be healed. Jesus wants you to have faith in him. The kind of faith that causes you to return to him. So the first lesson we learn from these 9 lepers who did not respond is the trap of wanting help from Jesus without wanting Jesus. There's another lesson we can learn from this, and these 9 lepers teach us, is that miracles are not enough to bring people to Jesus. miracles are not enough to bring people to Jesus. Of the 10 lepers, the fact that only one was commended for his faith and only one man returned reveals that while all 10 experienced a miracle in their bodies, what is needed to return to Jesus is faith. In order to return to Jesus, what people need is not merely a miracle. What people need is faith. That's why we don't look for miracles in order to increase our faith. We also don't look at the presence of miracles to evaluate how big our faith is. In the text from last week, remember the disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith. And Jesus corrected them mildly, indirectly, telling them it's not about the size of your faith. Even a small faith like the size of a mustard seed is enough. And here is faith put into action. Of the 10 lepers who saw the power of God in their lives, only one had faith. Only one returned. Only one came back to worship. Friend, if you're not convinced about Jesus, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian and you're not yet convinced whether or not Jesus is worth following, don't wait until you experience a supernatural experience in your body. Don't put off responding to Jesus until you can explain all the miracles that he did. The greatest obstacle for helping people come to Jesus, the greatest obstacle is in our own hearts. Because even with a miracle in their own lives, some people will still not turn to Jesus. Some will still not have eyes to see him for who he is. Friends, you and I today may not suffer from leprosy, but each of us suffers from a condition far, far worse than leprosy. It's a condition of sin. Sin is that corruption of our hearts. Sin is that corruption of our human nature which causes us to be numb to God, to not see him for who he is, and to not want to respond to him in light of who he is. It is our sinful condition that causes us not to recognize Jesus for who he is. It is our sinful nature that makes us satisfied with not responding to God. Some people don't recognize Jesus even when he works miracles in their lives. There's a third lesson we can learn from these 9 who did not respond to Jesus. The lack of response from others should not discourage us in our evangelism. Friends, if Jesus experienced such a surprise of no response to his miraculous work, let us be not discouraged by lack of response to Jesus when we speak about him to others. Friends, Jesus' outreach program was very powerful. Would you agree? Jesus' outreach program was very powerful. And yet, in this case, the majority of the 10 did not bother to return to Jesus. I love how one Bible teacher put it, the experience of Jesus reflects that of many ministers and evangelists and missionaries who invest their lives in other people and situations and often see very little response. Friends, we should want others to respond to Jesus. We should pray that others return to Jesus. But we should not be discouraged when they don't. We must be steady to speak about Christ, even if others don't respond to him. Jesus wants people to call on him, like these 10 lepers called on Jesus, but Jesus also expects those who call on Jesus for help would return to him. Because Genuine faith causes us to return to Jesus with praise, with gratitude. Jesus expected a response. He expected it then. Jesus expects a response today as well. Jesus wants those whom he is working in their lives, he expects those to return to him. But what we see, a second surprise in this moment, is not only the expected response that Jesus had, but the unexpected responder. The surprise for Jesus was not only that only one of 10 responded, but who it is that actually responded. Listen again to the story of this one of 10 responding, coming back to Jesus. Listen to how Luke describes him. Verse 15 and 16, I'm going to read that again. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And Luke wants to emphasize that. The fact that this man was a Samaritan, the fact that he alone came and returned to Jesus is a big deal. It's a big deal for the Gospel of Luke. It's a big deal also for Jesus. We see that even Jesus highlights the identity of this man who returned to him. Notice how Jesus describes him in verse 18. Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Now, the particular word that Jesus uses to describe this man as a foreigner was a unique word. First of all, it was unique because it was never used elsewhere in the entire New Testament. This is the only time when we see the use of this particular word, foreigner. There are other words for foreigners used in the Bible. This is the only time this particular word is used. Now, if you were living as a Jew in the first century, you would have recognized this word. It was carved into the stone of the wall of the temple in Jerusalem. In the temple, one of the walls was used to separate the court of the Gentiles from the court of the Jews. By God's law, no Gentiles were allowed to enter into the courts of the Jews. Only the Jews were allowed to enter into the more inner parts of the temple in Jerusalem. And on the wall that separated the section of the Gentiles from the inner courts of the Jews, there was an inscription that read these words: stoned, carved in stone, no foreigner is permitted inside the partition and wall around the temple. Whoever is caught will have himself to blame for his ensuing death. And the word for no foreigner is the exact same word that Jesus uses here when he describes the Samaritan who had just returned to him. You're hearing this word as you're with Jesus and just see the Samaritan worshiping at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus just used the word that was used to separate foreigners and keep them away from getting closer in to the worship of God in the temple. And here is this Samaritan, here is this foreigner. he would have not been allowed to enter the courts of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem as far as the Jewish people were allowed to get in. And it is this man who comes back and returns to Jesus. He was not allowed to enter the temple near God's presence, but here he is, near the feet of Jesus. He was not allowed to get close to worship God from close up, but here he is at the feet of Jesus, praising God and giving thanks to Jesus. Oh, friends, because of Jesus, those who are not allowed to come near God's presence are now able to have God's healing not only on their outside of their skins and bodies, but in their hearts. Jesus highlights that the man who returned to him with praise, with worship, with thanksgiving, was one who had not been allowed to get near to God. And instead, those who had the privilege of entering close up into the inner courts of the temple in Jerusalem, those who had the privileges and the access to walk through those gates of worship failed to return to Jesus. They failed to recognize Jesus. Even though the power of Jesus had been so powerful in their lives, they did not have eyes to see Jesus. In pointing out this reversal of who responded to Jesus and who didn't, there's a clear anticipation that the Israelites will not respond to Jesus even when Jesus will do a greater miracle for them. Even when Jesus would die on the cross in Jerusalem and would be raised from the grave on the third day, many of the eyes of the Jews, the majority of the eyes of the Jews, could not see Jesus, could not recognize the power and the work of God in Jesus. And therefore, they have not turned to him to worship him, to praise him, to give him thanks. And Jesus applauds the faith of this man, of this foreigner. And he says in verse 19, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." The word for "has made you well" in the Greek language literally is the word for salvation. Your faith has saved you. In other words, Jesus is telling this man, you're now well, not just on the outside. You're now well on the inside. There's something this man experienced in coming back to Jesus that others did not. The nine were healed only from the condition of their skin. They're healed of leprosy. But in coming to Jesus, this man was healed more than just from leprosy. He was healed from not being able to recognize Jesus. He is now able to see Jesus for who he is. His faith in Christ has enabled him to return with praise and gratitude. Oh, friends, this man's faith became visible when he returned to Jesus. Because genuine faith leads people to return to Jesus with praise and with gratitude. That is the expected result. And this foreigner's response is filled with hope, friends. If a foreigner was given faith to recognize Jesus and be able to return to him, then we too can have great hope. Those formerly excluded from God's presence and nearness can come to Jesus. Friends, reality is that if any of us would have lived in the first century, the same description would have been given to us. A foreigner. Foreigners were not allowed to worship God as close up as the Jews were. But here, in Jesus, a foreigner can come close to Christ. Oh, friends, if a man healed from leprosy could respond this way, we who have been cleansed by the contamination, or who have been cleansed from the contamination of sin, have greater reasons to return to Jesus. We have greater reasons why our hearts ought to be filled with praise, why our hearts ought to be filled with thanksgiving. If you're in Christ, believer, you and I have greater reasons to have hearts and mouths filled with praise. We have greater reasons to have mouths and hearts filled with gratitude to Christ. Faith in Jesus produces in us not only the desire to return back to Jesus, but it also produces in us praise, gratitude. Friends, an ungrateful heart is a heart in which faith in Jesus is lacking or low. An ungrateful heart is a heart that calls our faith into question. An ungrateful heart will also not motivate us to turn to Jesus. An ungrateful heart will make us think that he's not worth the trouble of turning to him. Watch out about the ways in which your heart struggles with lack of gratitude. Because praise and gratitude go hand in hand with what it means to turn your life to Jesus and walk with him by faith. Friends, Jesus expects us to respond to him. The expected response is a response of faith. A faith that turns to Jesus with praise and with thanksgiving. This month, we're preparing to celebrate Thanksgiving. Is your faith leading you to turn to Jesus daily, regularly? Is your faith in Christ enabling you to see Jesus for who he is, to praise him, and to give him thanks? The expected response is faith. The unexpected responder shows us that those formerly not allowed or expected can come close to God in Jesus. If you had been among the 10 lepers, would you have returned? Or are the words of Jesus, are his questions, particularly, where are the nine? Would that phrase describe you this morning? I love how J.C. Ryle put it beautifully. The lesson before us is humbling, heart-searching, and deeply instructive. The best of us are far too like the nine lepers. We're more ready to pray than to praise, and more disposed to ask God for what we have not than to thank him for what we have. In Ruthless Trust, Brennan Manning wrote these words. Let's say I interviewed 10 people asking each the same question. Do you trust God? And each answered, yes, I trust God. But 9 of them actually did not. How would I find out which one of them was telling the truth? He said this. I would videotape each one of the 10 lives for a month. And then, after watching the videos, pass judgment using this criterion. The person with an abiding spirit of gratitude is the one who trusts God. Friends, where are the 9? if you had been among the 10, would you have been among the 9? The response of faith is a response that leads us to return to Jesus with praise, with worship, and with gratitude. Where are the 9? Let's pray. Father, thank you for exposing in your word the deep effect of sin in our lives that causes us to not recognize Jesus, to cause us to go our way. And even though we are beneficiaries of the work of Jesus, we often struggle to worship Him, to have hearts that are filled with gratitude to Him. Father, you know the state of our hearts. You know that the leprosy of sin continues to make us numb towards your work in our lives. Oh God, we need a miracle greater than what Jesus performed for these 10 lepers. We need a miracle of you opening the eyes of our hearts, awakening the nerves of our spiritual lives so that we may see and experience our need of you and see you as the one who alone can supply for what we need. Father, we need more of you in our lives. Help us to live the lives that continually turn to you, worship you, praise you, and are filled with gratitude for what you have done for us in Jesus. Help us in this response of faith. Help us to walk it daily. And for any of us this morning who's here who has not yet responded to Jesus by faith, Father, we pray that you would work powerfully, overcome the blindness of sin, and bring about the response of faith that you alone can work in us so that we may turn to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.